Feel the presence of the Lord in this place this morning. You've never felt what you're feeling right now. It's just the Spirit of the Lord resting upon you as an individual. We serve such an awesome God, but such a personal God. And I'm so thankful that God, He can come down to each and every one of us totally as individuals. He can move upon the whole world. He can move across nations, across cities and states, but He can move individually. And that's what's so unique about God. You can be seated this morning. I'm going to get into my message. It's so great to be here. Just continue to pray. Many of you may have my wife's been, I got off of Facebook a while back, and I'm wiser and smarter for it. I can't say that I really learned anything other than what not to talk about. But her father is in the hospital, and he is in very poor shape. He has a torn or perforated bowel. And some parts of your body, you know, you cut your finger and it'll heal up. Some parts of your body require surgery, and he has refused surgery. He is 94. And so you can just kind of get the picture. If you got a leak internally and you keep eating and such, that eventually it just, you get full of infections and such. So he's kind of refusing treatment, so they're not for sure how long he's going to last. So I will be leaving right after service. He's in Sauk City Hospital. So I'll be heading up there and just spending some time with the family. But just continue to pray that God would just send comfort to the... they're not praying for a miracle. It's not like, let's keep Dad alive. He's... He's like, I'm 94 years old. I've walked across half of the world when he was in World War II. And he says, I'm ready. I'm spent. And so then, of course, her mother's not doing well either. So it's been a lot of pressure on her and her sisters. So I want to talk this morning on winds of change. Winds of change. It's... the seasons. Oh, what was it? Monday, it was 80. And I got up yesterday morning and looked outside, and it was frost everywhere. And it's like, wow, how does this happen? But getting into this, born in England, Isaac Newton was a highly influential physicist of his day. He was an astronomer, a mathematician, a philosopher, as well as a theologian. Newton is widely regarded as one of the most important scientists in the history of science. And we probably studied when we were in high school, maybe you remember, maybe you don't, about Newton's laws of physics. And the first law that he wrote was or discovered was the law of inertia, which it states that every object that's in motion will stay in motion until it's acted upon by an outside force. The second is commonly stated as force equals mass times acceleration, or F equals ma. And the third law and the final law that he had discovered is commonly known as the law, or to known to everyone as the action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Now, we understand this as parents, the third law, probably more than any law, that for every action, there's an equal or opposite reaction when it comes to raising our children. Because for every action that they, negative action that they have, hopefully there is a positive reaction. Now, the children look at it as a maybe a positive action and a negative reaction from you, but nevertheless, we understand that. And sometimes we also understand that every object that's in motion stays in motion. We have some wild children that get up in the morning, and once they set their day in motion, they stay in motion all day long. So when we look at this, when we look at Newton's second law, and I want to actually preach this morning on Newton's second law. So maybe I should have just titled this Newton's second law. But everything continues in a state of rest unless it is compelled to change by forces impressed upon it. In other words, change is dependent or at the mercy of something of greater power that will move or change it. Now, we have to understand something in life, that change will occur. It's going to happen. It is inevitable. It's going to happen, and it is inedible. And not edible. I didn't get my biscuit this morning. In other words, change is dependent upon some other source or force. At first thought, we could say, well, everything changes. Everything changes. Now, I'm going to do a little experiment here. Husbands, look at your wives. Now, wives, look at your husbands. If you're single, you don't have a husband or wife, you can look at your driver's license. Now, I don't know about you, but is it just me? Do driver's license seem like they're going like 10, 12, 15 years? The last time I went in, they gave me a little paper card, and they stuck it on the back of my driver's license, and they sealed it through one of those sealing machines or whatever you call them things, laminators. And, man, I had that thing, and when I look at it, I'm like, this picture on here, it was 20 years ago almost. And then I go, and I got to turn that in for a passport, and then look at me at my driver's license and look at me now, and they're looking, and they're like, we're going to have to make sure we take another current photograph on this. So they make me take off my glasses. You can't smile. She says, it's like a mugshot. Just stand there. Don't smile. Because I'm like, you know, no, don't smile. Just take your glasses off. And I'm standing there and I'm looking at the camera. They take my mugshot there for my passport. And I look at that and I compare that to my driver's license. And I'm like, I don't even look like the same person. My weight stayed the same. I guarantee you that because it was printed on there. I just wonder sometimes if we were honest. Huh? Okay, we're going to move on. You notice anything different, though? In other words, change is dependent upon some other source or force. We could just say age, time. Time changes us. Consider how you look now, how you looked 5 years ago. Look at your neighborhood. Look around you. If we were to look around us here at Calvary Gospel Church and go back 10, 12, 15 years ago, and you pull out of the church parking lot and you head down the hill, and everything on the right, all the way down to the roundabout. The roundabout wasn't there. It was all cornfields. You cut across to go to East Town, and that was all cornfields and alfalfa fields. Changes happen. Change is simply a part of life. It's a part of life. As I said earlier this week, it was 80. This morning you get up, it's a little bit warmer this morning, but we're already in October. And it just seems like it was just yesterday was Labor Day, and the day before that was 4th of July. Kids were getting out of school, and here they're already back into school. It's really crazy because every year, it's almost like at the 1st of September. We live out in the country. We live on a little bit of a knob, if I could call it that. And have a little steeper driveway. It's not super steep. But anyway, every year September when I walk out to take the trash out, like the day after Labor Day, it just seems like from August to September, something changed in the air. Is it just me that feels that way? Or it's like the wind now, it's like the day before Labor Day, it was coming out of the south. Now it's coming out of the northwest, it's cold, and all of a sudden there's geese and ducks flying, and you're like, what happened in 3 days? Well, change happens. You're going from summer, you're going into fall, the wind changes, it becomes colder, comes out of the northwest. But you see, that change is occurring. Why does that change occur? It's because there are forces, we call them forces of nature, that are acting upon our world that we live in. The sun is getting lower and lower in the sky. The earth is tilting as we go around the sun. We're on a 17-degree axis as we roll around the sun at 17,000 miles an hour flying through space, and we don't even think we're moving. But see, change happens. It just happens. Now, whether Brother Ben Elenius likes winter or not, Brother Ben, you're already probably counting the days till spring, but whether you like winter or not, it's going to come, Brother Ben. Rather, you better go get your coat out. You're going to need it soon. Brother Ben hates winter, and usually he knows how many days it is till spring. Do you happen to have that number on you? 160. That's a man that doesn't like winter when he's already counting the days till spring. So if we're going to get honest with ourselves, every one of us would admit that there are things in our own personal lives that need to be changed. Every one of us, we live our lives day in and day out, week after week, month after month. We grow up, we grow old. And change happens because change is inevitable. The problem is that we don't always need to know what needs to be changed in our lives. Sometimes we struggle with that. But when we look at Newton's law as of a force acting upon an object and bringing that all, changing and causing all that to change, the problem is we don't not... You ever just lose your place and can't figure out where you're at? Can I just start over? If we were to get honest with ourselves today, every one of us would admit that there are things that need to be changed in our lives. The problem is not really knowing that we need change in our lives, but it's rather realizing that a changed life requires us to actually bring about a change and things that are in our life, just as Newton's law forces upon an object and forces that object to change. It means bringing our will as humanity. If we want to change our lives, it means that we have to bring our will, our flesh, our thoughts, and we have to bring them into subjection. And I want to stop at a point right here. We were meeting in our home last Monday night when Brother and Sister Spears were here. And we had some of our ministers over and spend some time with the Spears. And it was just had such a powerful move of God. And it was at the end that Sister Spears began to speak to us as a group. And she said, I just want to share something that God spoke to me about that I need to share with this group here tonight. And she began to speak about sacrifice. And she began to ask us, what are we willing to give up when it comes to growing deeper in God? What are we willing to give up to see the revival that we want to see in our own personal lives, in our homes, and in our church, and in our city? So when I begin to think about all of that, you begin to spend a lot of time thinking about what am I willing to give up. And I begin to think about, well, Lord, you know, I've got my house. Maybe you want my house. And it's just like the Lord just, no, I don't need your house. So when we think about changing our will and aligning our will with His will, we struggle with this sometimes because we try to bargain with God and say, well, Lord, you know, I really don't need my wheelbarrow. You know, you can have my wheelbarrow. It's a lot of work anyway. But we say, what about my house and the camp? I went down all of the things that I was looking at that I have that are valuable to me, and God just is like, I don't need your stuff. So this morning, if you're struggling, thinking, what does God need or what is God requiring for me? He doesn't want your house, although He may exercise the option and take it if you give it to Him. He'll have to fight at my home. He'll have to fight with the bank because the bank technically owns it till it's paid off. So, but nevertheless, so he says, I don't need all of that stuff. And I'm like, Lord, is it time? Is it time? We had a discussion later in the week about time, about saying, well, maybe I need to give more time to God. And when I was praying that, God's like, I don't even need your time. Because I work in a different realm. You see, 1 second to me, I can get more accomplished than 5 of your lifetimes. So your time doesn't really matter a whole lot to me. I said, well, Lord, what is it that you want of me? What are you asking of me? And God says, I want your will. I want your will. What do you mean you want my will? I want you to align your will, your desires, with my will and my desires. And only until you align your will with my will can I use you in the capacity that I desire to use you. Now I realized at that moment that there's going to have to be some things change. Not in God, but in me. And when God says all, He says, I want your all. Some of you are struggling with this decision right here this morning because God is calling you into a deeper commitment. And we're trying to bargain with God and say, what does all mean? All doesn't mean your stuff. All means you. And all of you. So as I was seeking God this week and I was looking to find out what more that I needed to sacrifice, our will is to do what we desire and what He desires us to do. So that's really Newton's law when you think about that. Another force, the force of God, His will acting upon a smaller force, which is you and I, and His will being us, our will being subjected to His will. And it means bringing our will into subjection to what He desires for us to do. So His will can then activate the necessary forces within us to bring about the changes that we need in our life. So when you think about this, now, I'm not very effective at this, okay? So if I think about this, if I want to lose weight, what do I have to do to lose weight? Now, some of you in here, I can tell by looking at you that you're losing some weight, and it's looking really good. But I'm sure that if I were to sit down and talk with you and say, what are you doing to lose weight? You're not sitting there looking at me, Brother Hawk, and say, well, you know, really all you got to do is you just got to think yourself thin. That's all I'm doing. I'm just thinking myself thin. You see, if you want to do something about it, you have to, if you want to lose weight, you want to become skinny, you got to think, do more than just think yourself skinny. You can say, my will is strong. So I'm going to use my will to think myself, but then also the weight just doesn't come off because I just want to lose it. Doesn't just happen because I want to lose weight. I have to change something in my life. Everyone agree with that? If you want to change because you're tired of where you are, what you are, maybe who you are, then you have to be willing to change something in order to change. So the weight doesn't just fall off. I got to change my eating habits. I have to change my exercise habits. And then I went in and after I wrote change my exercise habits, I actually wrote, I really just need to add exercise. Okay? That may be the same for a lot of us. So add exercise. I've got to change my attitude about food. Now it's really hard to look at that piece of Nutella cheesecake that was brought into my office this morning by Brother Rico. Quite the cheesecake thing going on over here. And it's hard for me to look at that and imagine that as just kale. Because my mind looks at that. Now, I had some kale over the weekend. I wasn't real impressed. It needed some sugar or something with it. Needed a lot of dressing. But nevertheless, I ate it. It was rather dry. The cranberries helped. They were tart. But nevertheless, it was good because I changed my attitude about it, see. I can do this because everybody else was doing it. So without changing these areas of my life, my weight's not just going to come off. I'm going to have to change my attitude about how I approach Nutella cheesecake. Now, because it is Pastor Appreciation Month, I will change my attitude after this month is over, okay? But see, there's really no miracle cure that's going to cause me to change my weight without changing some things in my life. And this is how it happens in every area of our lives. Change just doesn't happen. We have to determine, we have to determine or identify the problem areas of our lives, and then we have to set about to do whatever is necessary to bring about the desired results that we are seeking. We're all here today because of we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, or we desire to have one. Perhaps right now your relationship is much different than someone else that's around you. Our relationships, we're all different because we're all different individuals. But how many of us here today are totally happy, totally satisfied and content at where they are in God? I would say that if we were really honest with ourselves, that very few people here today are really happy and content and say, you know what, I got all of God that I need. I've got all of God that I desire, and I'm good with what I have right now. I don't need any more. You see, when we repented at an altar, we went down in water baptism in Jesus' name. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. We gave our lives to Jesus Christ. We use the term, we're serving the Lord, we're serving Jesus Christ. We heard about this new life, we experienced salvation that we're supposed to have in Him. But the problem is at that level, so many people that experience Jesus Christ and salvation, when they receive salvation, they just stop. It's like, well, I'm saved, I'm good, I don't have to do anything else. But salvation, that's just the beginning of our walk with God. That's just the beginning. That's like opening up the cheesecake. I had to bring that back in, Brother Rico. You see, we've never really experienced the fullness of what God has for us. God has so much more. But the problem is we allowed God to change us through salvation, but when it started to get down into all of the areas of our lives that we become so comfortable living in, when God says, if you want more of me, you're going to have to change this, this, or this, we say, oh, wait a minute, God. I don't know that I can do that. And the problem is then we stop. So we never experience what God has for us. Too many of us have had our salvation experience and then simply sat back and perhaps we just waited for change to happen in our lives. The problem is that change, that the change you're waiting for is probably never going to happen, but it's because it requires an action on our parts. Change requires a personal intervention and personal action. If you don't put anything into it, your relationship with Jesus Christ, you will never get anything out of it. It will never come about. And Jesus Christ has a wonderful life planned for every one of us. He has a purpose for every one of us. I believe that every person on this planet, 7.2 billion people, God has a plan for them. He has it all laid out, but living out that life to the fullest, it requires us to change. Paul writes to the church in Colossae. He says, I think we sometimes feel that when Paul writes to these churches, that he's writing to people that don't know anything about God. But that's not the truth, Brother Hawk. He's writing to churches just like Calvary Gospel Church. So when he writes to these churches and he begins to share some of his thoughts and such, these churches, they're scattered all over Asia and they all had problems. So if you came here today and you think that Calvary Gospel Church, or you feel perhaps that this is a perfect church, we're far from perfection. I'll just tell you that. Okay? So here he's writing to the church in Colossians, and he says in Colossians 3, 5 through 10, I'm going to just read 5 through 7, and we're going to work our way through this over the next few minutes. The first thing that when we look at this passage of Scripture, he's writing to a body of believers that over time, okay, they allowed a bunch of stuff to get back into their lives. They allowed a bunch of junk to get back into their lives. They allowed sin to gain a stronghold back in the church. I'll understand something. We may be saved. We may be full of the Holy Ghost, but we're not immune to sin. Okay? We're not immune to it. And so he's writing to the church there in Colossians there, and he says, therefore, put to death whatever in you is worldly. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry, because of these, God's wrath comes on the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. So I want to stop right here. These verses give us two lists of things that we need to make sure that we get rid of in our lives. At first glance, we're going to think that maybe perhaps that we're immune from these items that Paul lists here. But when we look at further investigating of this passage of Scripture, we begin to find out that these items are actually the root problems. Okay, what Paul is discussing, and I believe we're going to see here, that they do apply to us, even to us today. All right, Paul makes the point we must be dead to the old life. We are to put to death those things that Paul has listed. To put to death literally means that we are to hold these items in check or to restrain them from our lives. If left unrestrained, they're going to lead us in the wrong direction. So how do we restrain these things from our lives? We restrain these things from our lives by a change of direction. We change directions. We need to change pleasing our flesh, as in too much cheesecake. I'm just being real here, okay? We need to change our flesh. our stubborn wills. Sometimes we look at our children and we say, man, are they stubborn? Where did they get that from? They got it from you, more than likely. We talked about that last week in our children's, our baby dedication. We got to change directions. We got to change our wills. We got to change our tendencies. We got to stop trying to please ourselves, and we have to seek after pleasing God. We left our old life behind. Why? Because it doesn't get us to where we want to go in God. So if our old life doesn't get us where we want to go, then why do we always seemingly want to go back to those habits of our old lives? It's because we are not submitting our will to His will. We're submitting our will to us. How many of you battle with your flesh? I'm going to put my hand up first. You see, our flesh is very, very powerful. Now, some of you may not, what does he mean by flesh? This right here. Whatever this wants, a lot of times this gets. You know you shouldn't eat something, but you eat it anyway. You know you shouldn't look at something, but you look at it anyway. You know you shouldn't say something, but you say it anyway. You know you shouldn't go a certain place, but you go there anyway. That's taking your flesh and allowing it to just run rampant, do whatever it feels like doing. We live in a world that is full of that today. We left our old life behind because we want to move on. Our old life leads to destruction. It separates us from God, and it opens us up to being subject to the wrath of God. We wonder sometimes, why does God never bless me? Why do I never get this? Why am I always struggling in this, or this? Just take a look at where how your will in your life is lining up with God's will for your life, and that may answer a lot of questions for you. We have to take an active part in that change that's coming about. It's not going to happen on its own. It's not going to happen on its own. So when we look at some of this, we need to change our direction. So if we're going to change our life, we've got to change our direction. And once we change our direction, what's the next thing that we have to change? How many of your children ever get how many of you ever get a bad attitude? Boy, I can get bad attitudes sometimes. You see, when we read in verses 8 and 9 in this same passage of Scripture, but now you must also put away all the following: anger. And I put behind anger, attitude, wrath, attitude, a change of attitude, malice, attitude, slander, attitude, filthy language. Yep, more attitude from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, yet more attitude. So if we're going to take and change our life, we're going to change our will so our will matches His will, then we're going to have to take and change our direction, and we're going to have to change our attitude. So as we have laid aside the old life or the old man, we need to develop a new attitude. The words "put away" indicate an action on our part. To put away means to take off, just like taking off your clothing at the end of the day or before you get in the shower. Paul states that we are to change our clothes, or we are to disrobe from these old sinful attitudes. When we received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we repented, we were baptized, He filled us with the Holy Ghost, He gave us a new garment, we've got new clothes, we got new robes on, we're walking around in a new creature, and our old attitudes and all of that starts to creep back in, and we start putting on those old clothes again. And God says, you know what? You got to put all of that away. These attitudes left unchecked. You see, what happens is our flesh isn't able and doesn't have the ability on its own to deal with all of this stuff. So what happens to us is if these attitudes go unchecked, they lead to bad actions. Usually bad attitudes almost always lead to bad actions. So Paul writes in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Or another version puts it this way, that we need to have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. With a changed direction, a changed attitude, this sets us up for a change of purpose. You see, we wonder, why can we not, why are all of these things, I'm struggling here, I'm struggling there. God is calling us into a much deeper level, much deeper dimension with Him, but we can't get there without change. It won't happen. God desires that within our change, that we have a new purpose. If we want to change, reading the last two verses, 9 and 10, since you have put off the old man with his practices and have put on the new man who is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of his creator. You see, God desires that we change. And that we change as we change our direction, we change our attitude. Our direction, our attitude equals a change in our purpose. What am I here for, really? Am I here to just warm the pews of Calvary Gospel Church? Or does God have a deeper purpose for my life? I don't know about you, but I want a life that has purpose. I want a life that has meaning. I want to know that when I am laying on my deathbed and my life is before me, that you know what? I know that my life, that I had purpose and that I fulfilled to the best of my ability what that purpose was or what God had called me to do. And we need to change. We need a change of purpose in our lives. We are called to be renewed in a true knowledge of Jesus Christ. We cannot be renewed in a true knowledge of Him if we don't know anything about Him. We've been going through this series here at Calvary Gospel Church. We've been talking about emotionally healthy spirituality. You know what this basically is series, if you just were to wrap it up in a nutshell, it's about relationship with God. But it's not just relationship with God, as we're finding out as we go through this. As we're talking about relationship with God, we're developing relationship with one another. God is doing some awesome things through us over the last 5-6 weeks. We're learning to develop a relationship with Him, and we're learning to develop a relationship with one another. I'm really amazed as to how many of the issues that we face as Christians, as well as humanity as a whole, when I look at all the problems going on in the world, the biggest problem we have is a lack of knowledge of Jesus Christ. People say, I don't know anything about God. Well, learn something about God. You want to know why the world is struggling? Is because they don't know. There's no love in your life. You need to learn the author of love. There's no peace in your life. You need to learn the author of peace. You need to learn about Jesus Christ. You need to learn about what's in the Word of God. As our bishop always taught us, that this Word of God is what? What is it? Some of our elders, it's a manual. It's a manual for life. You can go in this book and you can find out any problem, any question, anything that you're dealing with. It's there. It's available to you. So many times we struggle. It's our ignorance of God and His Word so many times that holds back the process of transformation in our lives. We don't do it because we don't know. Now, that's not all of us here. But a lot of us, it's the reason why. We simply cannot be transformed into an image that we know very little or nothing about. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? By the renewing or the changing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, and that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Our whole purpose for living is to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the whole reason that we're here. And if our music team can come, if you can stand here this morning. Paul says in 2 Colossians 3:18, we all with unveiled faces are reflecting the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You see, this church, this is our calling in Jesus Christ. It's only going to happen. Our lives are only going to change. Our ministries are only going to change if we allow it to happen. Remember Newton's first law of motion. Everything continues in a state of rest unless it is compelled to change by forces impressed upon it. Transformation into the image of Jesus Christ is a work of God within us, but it's not going to be forced upon us. God's not going to force you to do anything. Did you know that? Now, he may pressure you. That's a whole different message. Sometimes God pressures us. Sometimes we wonder why things go wrong, because God is pressuring us. It requires an openness and a willingness on our part for this to take place in us. As I drove to church this morning, I'm driving down the roads that are around us, and you can definitely tell as you drive down the streets, as the leaves, there's that crispness in the air. So beautiful, isn't it? It's just beautiful. You see, as the seasons begin to change, the temperatures are going to drop lower and lower, and the leaves are going to change colors. Did you know that this happens every year? You go to Texas this time, and they're experiencing, their leaves will change and drop off too. I used to think it was just something that happened where it was cold. It changes because life is going through a cycle. It's the way of life. It happens every year. Change is a way of life. The church here this morning, God is calling us into a much deeper dimension in Him. And if we're going to experience that, we have to go through a season of change. We have to allow His will, we have to allow our will to become His will in our life. So what I'm going to do this morning is, maybe if this is your first time here, perhaps if it is, I just want to invite you to come down to the front. We call this our altar area. We have people that will pray with you if you need prayer. If you're just seeking for a change, you're just tired of fighting the same old battles over and over and over again, without ever seemingly able to get anywhere. You need a change. And that change starts with developing a relationship with God. Maybe you're a member of Calvary Gospel Church and you're just struggling in areas. Listen, we all struggle. We all struggle. And you say, you know what, Lord? I've been at this point far too long. I'm not for sure what I have to change to get to the next step. I just want to encourage you to just come down and say, Lord, you may not find out what that next step is here this morning, but you can at least take and allow your will to become His will. And through that process, God will begin to reveal to you, begin to talk to you, begin to show you what those changes are that you need in your life. No one can receive salvation unless they're willing to change. It won't happen. You want to be used more of God. You want to be used more by God. Excuse me. There's going to have to be changes that take place in our lives. Life is about change.